Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
If you've been listening to the programme over the last 3 weeks, you'll know we've been talking to members of the Before We Die campaign here in the show, and I've met some of the mums and dads involved in this campaign. I've gone to their home to hear and to see firsthand, actually, about their own domestic situations. Today, though, a number of those parents from the campaign travelled to Leinster House, to Dáil Éireann, to tell politicians about their situation. Our reporter Josh Crosby is with me here on the line this afternoon, because Josh, you've been monitoring proceedings, I suppose. What's happened today?
Yes, I'm just outside the door now of where this is taking place. So the meeting is separate to an Oireachtas committee, which some listeners might be aware of. Basically, a presentation has been arranged by the Social Democrats' Liam Quaid to give parents from Before We Die the opportunity to come up here and voice their own family circumstances and what they think could be some solutions. And look, I know you've been covering it on the show, but just to give listeners some background again to the campaign, Before We Die has been set up by parents of adult children with intellectual disabilities. And if we look at the figures here, there are over 2,000 adults with intellectual disabilities who live with family carers over the age of 70. And of these, 500 adults are cared for by parents aged over 80. I know I said look at the figures, but these are families, these are siblings.
Incredible
these
statistics,
are
isn't it?
Yes. So understandably, like, these parents are worried about what's going to happen when they're no longer here themselves to provide this care. And their concerns are really, I suppose, in the name of the campaign, Before We Die. And like, they want to see more residential places created for their children. And they're, I suppose, advocating for many, many more families who are in similar domestic situations. Maybe they're not involved in the campaign, but they really want to get this rolling. And it has now, it really has picked up from politicians here. I can see inside the room here that the politicians from across the political divide have attended, and I've just popped out now. It's still ongoing. But just before we came in, I met with Maria, whose daughter Jessica has intellectual disabilities and has been in different models of residential care throughout her life, but is now living at home with her parents. And Maria says they're constantly worried about what the future holds.
At 10 years of age, 10, 11, I don't know why, she had very challenging behaviours at home. She was out of school, wouldn't go into school for me. She was disruptive. She was beating herself up. She was really, really bad. And against our better judgment, against our what we felt, we had to put her into residential. Now, I had to fight for that. This was junior residential. They had a multidisciplinary team and they did a great job. We'll rush on now till she was 18 years of age. She went into adult services where she was sexually and physically abused. We were horrified. She came home, she had very limited language. She came home and she was able to let us know what happened through her limited language and through showing us, with, you know, her pointing to what had happened to her. We were absolutely devastated. I've never seen my husband cry, but I did. My four adult daughters were absolutely devastated. We wouldn't send her back in. So anyway, we took a court case, and we didn't worry about money or anything. We took the court case because we wanted no other child to go through what our daughter had gone through, no other family to go through. I mean, this was a much loved young lady that was, we were just heartbroken. She suffers now to this day from post-traumatic stress syndrome. She wouldn't go out. We settled outside court. Now, it was never about the money. It was about getting something for Jessica. But they still didn't agree that anything had happened, Jessica. We're still living with the consequences. Our family was traumatised. So I lie in bed at night and think, now she's at home. She's safe. She's a great life with us. She goes to her club. So I lie in bed at night thinking, right, I'm 68, my husband's 70. And what are we going to do for the future? Where will Jessica go? What will happen to her? We just want, before we die, we want to have Jessica put in a position where she's in somewhere, could come home weekends, get to know her peers, happily live in there, go to her club, within our area maybe, you know, not a conjugated setting, not an apartment on her own.
What an incredibly difficult situation for that parent, Josh. And like, after everything they've gone through with their daughter, to now, you know, sit at home at night and be worried and concerned about where she'll go into the future. So that's just one of those parent stories speaking at the Dáil today to TDs. How has the meeting been progressing beyond that?
Yes, I've just come out now, and it's still ongoing, as I said, and it's a packed room, that there's standing room only. I believe I was told by some GDs that these presentations in the AV room can sometimes be a struggle to fill. As I said, they're separate to the committees, but there are TDs sitting on the steps, and I must say there are TDs from all parties. All members of the Oireachtas would have been invited to come and hear the concerns of the members. So, look, that there are people from various departments here to listen and take on board what these people have come to Dublin to say today. Tony Murray from the campaign, who you've had on the show, he referenced the HSE's Bernard Glosser's interview that was on News Talk yesterday, and was quite shocked at the figures provided over the lack of places for adults. I know he said that on your own show then as well. Yes. So he opened up the discussion today, and then there's a panel of parents highlighting their own circumstances. Tony also pointed out the reliance we have in this country on for-profit private accommodation. He showed figures that funding to these private companies for accommodation for the likes of his daughter is up 129% from 2020 to 2024. So that just shows you, and you could tell from the TDs in attendance, they were taken aback by this as well. But when it comes to the solutions, I suppose the main calls from the group here today are to establish a national transition planning framework for adults with intellectual disabilities, ring-fence capital funding for small-scale community-based housing, and also review the congregated setting policies, because they're going through different types of accommodation that was available in the past but is no longer available due to new policies. I met with Sinead, another parent who's travelled here from Cork to be here. Sinead has two twin boys, Alex and Lee, who are 24, and they're currently doing a course in UCC at the moment. And Sinead says her boys just want to be able to live in their own suitable accommodation.
Their goal in life is that they want to live independently. So I started going about getting that goal and making a reality for them, and realised the obstacles that were in the way. So I can see now, because of the Before We Die campaign, and since I got involved in that there's a lot of older people and older young adults in the same situation, I suppose, that's going to be facing me in the current crisis mode that we have. So it's just about encouraging government and people who actually, the HSE and all the service providers, of actually having a proactive approach instead of a reactive approach, I suppose. As I said, their goal is they just want to live independently. They want, I suppose, what everybody else has in terms of like living on their own, living independently, a job, a girlfriend. They want everything that everybody else wants, and it's their right. And it's their life, and it's their choice. So it's
just, and they have each other then as well. That they're going off to college together.
Yeah, so we're really lucky, I suppose. We're not as isolated, I suppose, as the other young adults and the other families, because they will always have each other, which is really, really good. Now, having said that, they want to live independently. So there's the whole role of like the whole social housing application, every obstacle that you come across. We're all in this together. So no matter what your circumstances, no matter what age, no matter what level of ability your son or daughter has, or could be your siblings, because we have a lot of siblings who are carers as well in this situation, you're not on your own.
So what is the message that you want to get through to those who you'll be meeting in the presentation, and I suppose for anyone, the powers that be, who could be listening to this piece now, what do you really want to get through?
I basically want to make sure that they know that we need a clear and separate pathway for people with intellectual disabilities. Telling people to put their name on the social housing list is not an option. It's already full and saturated. So we want to have the human right and their right of choice of where they live for our loved ones.
You know, Sinead, they're one of the many parents involved in the Before We Die campaign, speaking to Josh Crosby. Josh, I presume that presentation will continue throughout the afternoon.
Yes, and look, this is only the beginning. I suppose what you've been covering on your own show, like this meeting itself, is going to wrap up over the next while. But I suppose this is really where the ball is rolling, and where politicians are in attendance, they're listening, they're taking notes. And I suppose it's where it goes from here is what the families involved really want to see.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. Like the big question now is what happens next? Because when you hear Josh highlighting the figures today, I mean, to think that there's 2,000 adults with intellectual disabilities living with family carers over the age of 70, and 500 more are being cared for by their parents who are 80 plus years of age. The question still remains, what's going to change? Who's going to mind Aoife? Who's going to mind Jessica? Who's going to mind Alex? And who's going to mind Lee? And that's the question the politicians have to discuss today and figure out what they're going to do next. We've been talking about it here in Lunchtime Live for 3 weeks, and we'll continue to talk about it. We've plenty more to come. You can, if you want to share your own stories with us, drop us an email, lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.